forgiveness, and karma. The law of karma. Leaves and branches of a tree do not exist without roots. Our circumstances are rooted in what we have planted, what we have done before, in what choices we've made. When we do any action, it remains in our field, our conscious memory, our subconscious memory, our mind, our heart. This is true of all actions, whether they are good or bad, beneficial or harmful, or a mixture of both. All of our actions, good and bad, eventually return to us. This is called the law of karma. There is much misunderstanding about the term karma and about this law because people have superimposed their concepts of sin and punishment by a harsh, powerful deity. The word karma simply means action in Sanskrit. A karma is an action, not necessarily a bad action, it's just an action. The truth about what has been done, including the thoughts and feelings of everyone and everything at the time, does not vanish. There is always a record in the memory of the universe. Forgiveness, even divine forgiveness, does not eliminate the truth, despite claims of the wishful. In order to escape the difficulties and responsibilities of earthly existence, some people imagine that one can simply transcend or ascend, or decide to repent and be saved from it all. People have become quite wealthy by promoting this attractive fallacy. The law of karma is simply the law that all actions return to their source. It does not refer to retribution or punishment, although when a harmful action returns to the doer, the person may experience suffering. The law of karma is not a set of regulations, like human laws we must follow to avoid uncomfortable consequences. It is not punishment or reward by a deity for disobeying or obeying rules. The law of karma is simply a statement about how things work in the universe. This law is a statement of balance. It facilitates and promotes love, the awareness of our unity with all. This law is love itself. This law is dispassionate, balanced, just, magnificent, awesome in its beauty. Once we know the truth about how things really work, being immoral is not appealing because its long-term effects are far more unpleasant than any short-term ephemeral advantages. Sometimes hardships in life have roots in past harmful behavior. Difficulties present opportunities to do things differently, to grow stronger, and to gauge our character. The universe cleverly provides mechanism and opportunity for restoration and for transformation. Incidentally, when we let go completely of a harm done to us, it returns back to its source immediately. So forgiveness means not only relinquishing a desire that the harmdoer suffer, but also relinquishing a desire that the harmdoer not suffer. If we hang on to a harm without forgiving, we hinder its movement, and it takes much longer to return to its source. When people retaliate, harm can bounce around until the end of time. An important caution. The law of karma does not imply that if someone is suffering, it is because they did bad things in the past, or vice versa. This could be the case, but people can also choose to experience very difficult circumstances in order to have an opportunity to grow spiritually more rapidly. People who wish to grow at a slower rate can also choose to experience easier circumstances. A soul can incarnate on earth for the very first time with no previous actions. The present era is an extremely difficult time period on earth, and it is not possible for someone to not be abused, poisoned with toxins, dominated, and otherwise harmed in myriad ways. This harm is certainly not deserved by a new soul, and is not deserved by most of the rest of us either. It does, however, afford extraordinary opportunity for spiritual growth. We need to be very careful before applying the concept of deserving to anyone. Windfalls are not necessarily due to recent good behavior that we can see, and tragedies are not necessarily due to recent bad behavior that we can see. In this age, windfalls can actually be due to very bad behavior, and miseries can be due to very good behavior. Note, Jesus once said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that God's works would be displayed." So the man's suffering was not due to bad actions. A story goes that Krishna once blessed a stingy rich man with greater wealth and a poor, generous man that he would lose his favorite cow. When asked why, he explained that the rich man would become even more attached to his wealth, and that the poor man would lose his attachment to the cow and reach God, liberation, faster. Is there anyone who has never been misjudged by people who didn't know the circumstances, the whole story? Who didn't know our intention or our hearts? As Native Americans say, do not judge a man until you have walked a mile in his moccasins. Much hurt is caused by misunderstandings and by presumptions that are inaccurate. Some religious leaders have beaten, defrauded, publicly humiliated, raped, sodomized, coerced, and otherwise abused their followers, claiming that it was because of their so-called bad karma. Beware of such behavior and excuses. We are not authorized to deliver anyone's so-called karma. There is a saying in knowledgeable circles, "Someone may need to suffer due to previous actions, but woe be to the one through whom their suffering comes." Let us remember the exhortation of our great revolutionary, "Let one who is without sin cast the first stone." We should not ignore or deny what has actually occurred, but if we adopt a self-righteous attitude that others deserve suffering, we tread on perilous spiritual ground.